I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. That Odyssey Sports Minute was brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. All right, BT, 888-808-1019 is the number to call here. Broadcasting live from the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. It has been a crazy day here. I recommend if you're a sports fan and you're in the area and you're able to come out, you should do it. This is some kind of experience here. There's a lot going on. It's going to take actually days, so it's a good thing that it's here through Sunday, but it will take days to digest everything that's going on in the Javits Center.
I got to say one thing, and I've always said this on the air, like whenever you get into, and sometimes you'll get calls like this about ticket prices or things, like I never tell people, you don't either, how to spend their money.
Right.
Because we don't know what is relative to them and what's not. So I'm not going to tell people how to spend their money now. But if, I will say this, if you are looking for an experience that I don't even really have anything to compare it to, quite frankly, that's how amazing this Fanatics Fan Fest has been. And I had a pretty high expectation because Michael Rubin gets involved with things. They're usually big. They're usually pretty good. That's a bit of an understatement. Like, this place is just phenomenal. So, you know, again, the admission and the ticket prices and things that you could do here, that's money and that's on you. But if you have the time and you think you have the resources to do it, you will not be disappointed. This place has been fantastic.
Right, exactly. If you don't have the money, we understand that. But if you do and you're interested in sports, it's worth it. It is worth the price of admission just to check out all that's going on. And I know that, you know, you have to pay to meet certain people or take pictures and stuff like that. But even the free stuff for the price of admission stuff, when you come in, the access is incredible. And, you know, all the different experiences that you could see, it is worth it. I'm just saying that as a sports fan, not as somebody who's trying to promote the event. It is a legit a time here at Fanatics Fest. I honestly can't even catch our breath trying to do a show. And
I mean, it's just awesome.
It's been chaos. All right.
You know what I love, too? I love seeing the kids. Come on, give me some, buddy. What's going on, pal? Future Yankee fan.
Look at the jersey. He's got a Ruth.
Always giving me pounds.
He's got a Ruth jersey on.
You got Babe Ruth over there?
How about
look
that?
At him. He's got the cool kicks. He's got the guns. He's dapping me up. I mean, this kid is ready to roll.
Yeah. Well,
I just threw him a little ground ball on the turf, and he looked like he's got pretty good hand-eye coordination.
So we were gonna tell you, it's all ages here as well.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about that baseball new rule here.
Yes, let's get to that.
What do you think of it? So baseball, I guess, is considering having a rule where starting pitchers have to go 6 innings if they haven't allowed, 4 runs or more, and they haven't thrown 100 pitches.
Yep. And an injury designation. Although if there is an injury, you have to go on the IL. Otherwise, people would feign injury.
Right.
So there's a couple of things that are built in that would not allow people to do that. Now, and it would also get rid of the openers. Like, you know, like the Rays would do that on occasion.
Right.
Start a guy for an inning, bring somebody else in for an inning. It's bold. It's radical. It's real. But it's also a way to get baseball back to the way that it was. Now, the complexity with this is that it's going to have to be collectively bargained, which tells me that it's not going to happen, even though I think
right.
It's an interesting idea, because for the players' union to agree to this, there'd have to be a lot of concessions, because in essence, what you're doing, like, residually from doing this, you would be limiting the amount of bullpen arms, or at least the money that bullpen arms could make, because their role is lessened. They're viewed as less important. If you must go 6 as a starter, well, guess what? We don't need 4 or 5 guys down the bullpen. I'm not even talking about the closer or the high leverage setup, man.
Right.
Those other guys, we don't need one of you. And
right.
If that's the case, then you're going to have to do something for the union to make a concession. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'll tell you what, I'm intrigued by it.
I'm intrigued, too, and I think the thought is in the right place, or the intentions, or the intentions of the idea, or coming up with it, is in the right place. I don't think it's the right solution. Like, think about what we're doing now. We're trying to completely change the rules of the game, because the way that it's now been you know, the way that teams go about it and, I don't know, just changed the game and manipulated the game, it's totally different than the way it used to be. And because of that, because starting pitchers don't go deep, because they're trying to protect their pitches for whatever reason, because they've gotten too small with the analytics and third time through the lineup, because they want to preserve in their mind these pitchers' arms even in the future, not worrying about now, because they don't prioritize winning, we're trying to make that the case. But I feel like forcing it in this particular case is not necessarily the right way.
I know what you mean. That's why I say it's really interesting, and again, definitely radical. I don't think it would happen. I appreciate baseball giving it some thought and trying to think outside the box. Like, what was the major complaint about baseball for years? They were just so stuck in their old ways. You know, they weren't forward thinking. It was always like, oh, it's the older sport, and no, we're not open to change. No. And you got to react. You got to react to the arm injuries. You got to react to, you know, other trends with other sports that have increased their popularity and maybe for some, by extension, decreased the popularity of baseball. So you've got to do these things to change that template. And I applaud them for trying, but this isn't going to stick. But and really, what other sport mandates that you play players X amount of time? You know, in hockey? Football? No. I mean, it is heavy-handed.
And while I applaud them for trying to think of a way to fix it, it does highlight a significant problem that they know that they have.
I know.
Where it hurts the game where you have teams taking pitchers out that are succeeding prior to completing six innings. Like, it's just not good for the game. And we can say that and we yell and scream and think that, oh, maybe they don't know. It's not good. Well, now they know it.
True.
Or at least they acknowledge that they know it.
But to acknowledge it, you have to know it.
Correct.
They know it.
They acknowledge that they know it. So we can all agree that they've got a problem and they've got to figure out a way to fix it. I just don't think that that's the best way to fix it. Now, do I have an answer?
There might not be an answer. That's what's...
Well, how about shortening games? If you're going to go to these lengths...
They're not doing that.
Yeah, because then you lose endorsements and
advertising money, sure. Yeah. And then think about this. If you shorten games, not that this would be the primary pushback, but think about the sacred nature of, even with steroids, baseball record book. If, you know, let's say in 2030 they implement it's always a seven-inning game. Well, guess what? That might equate to 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 fewer at-bats each year
changes
for each
everything.
Guy, which changes how many home runs.
They've already ruined that anyway with the steroid
I know, but why compound it, make it worse? I'll tell you this, though. The fact that baseball's at least sitting down, even though this seems a little wacky and a little much, the fact that they're sitting down and thinking about ways to fix this and circumvent some of the issues in the game, it tells me that they're at least on the right track. Their head's not in the sand. Like, they know that they need to correct a few things. So I guess that's a small win for now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And it is, you know, it is intriguing to use that word that we brought up before. I wish that there was a better solution. I mean, it's not a rule that's going to change it. It is going to be a philosophy or just the way that teams go about. The first thing I think is health.
Yep.
But it hasn't been proven that shortening pitchers' outings is going to keep them healthier. That's the first thing. The other part then becomes effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, third time through, the analytics say that a pitcher is not that good.
Yes.
How do you tell teams then to go against that other than implementing a rule like this?
That's tricky because now we're talking about a strategical...
Right.
Not even like recommendation, but a parameter. Like, you must do... It's like telling you have to bunt. Or, you know, you have to throw out your third line.
What about
the Rangers play, you know, the Panthers, then they've got to play at least 9 minutes. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Yeah.
Or Aaron Rodgers must throw 30 times this game.
So,
you do whatever you want.
All right, how about this? And again, I'm just throwing this out without giving it any deep thought. What if you said every game you could only use four pitchers?
Five
pitchers. Why? Why? You shouldn't need to be able to get outside of extra innings. Extra innings, different story. A nine-inning game, you cannot use more than four pitchers or five pitchers. Like, that's not...
So baking in, if somebody gets hurt, then it could become five.
Yeah, obviously.
If two guys get hurt, it could become six.
Yeah.
If you've got that built in, I mean, I've heard worse things. I don't think that would ever happen either.
I'm just saying, like, that at least to me feels like a cleaner way. Like, hey, you know you're going into the game tonight. These are the pitchers that are available.
Yeah.
You know, outside of injury or extra innings, you can only use these, you know, four or five guys. By the way, you could even create, theoretically, I guess, an extra roster spot and have somebody ready in case of injury or extra
innings.
I mean,
what are we talking about now?
I'm trying to come up with solutions here.
Instead, you keep digging us deeper into the ground.
I think that having a certain amount of pitchers for a game is better for the game than it is to say that starting pitchers have to go six innings if they haven't allowed four. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, neither's going to stick.
Yeah, but then the sport still has a big problem.
Yeah, yeah. But you see, to me, this all... Listen, all right, I'm going to take you on a little ride here, right? And I'm not getting into politics one way or the other per se, but just a larger umbrella. You talk about problems in our... like a lack of money and a lack of resources. Generally, not always... Generally, those are born out, a lack of opportunity when you're young.
Right.
Generally, people who are poor or don't have access to education, it's a cycle because they're either born into it and they can't break out of it. And it's just, how do we change that? Well, okay, anybody could sit on the stage and say, the way to change the world partially is to have more education, but if you can't pay for it, how do you do it? So it always starts, there's always got to be an organic starting point to something. So... when we talk about baseball and starting pitchers, we're focusing on the major leagues, but it starts at the lower levels.
Yeah, right.
Just like education starts at the lower. So that's why I use that analogy, that comparison. So it's nice that Major League Baseball is looking for solutions, but until they overhaul, you know, the amount of pitches kids throw at 8 and 9 and 10 and all the different things that I've talked about over, you know, as a coach and my mm-hmm. son and everything that I've seen already in the 2.5 years I've been exposed to it, he's only 9. It's baseball's in grave danger. The spike in Tommy John surgeries is not by accident. It's not an aberration. It's not going to suddenly correct itself. It's going to get worse.
It's years in the making, and it's going to take years to correct this.
Yeah, oh, that's a good, yeah, years.
But I just don't know how to correct it. Mm. All right, let's go to the phones. Chris is in Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, BT Sal. Thanks for taking my phone call, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, so it ties in exactly with what you guys are talking about right now with the starting pitcher, you know, potentially, or even the rumor that this might be a thing. It's contingent upon the season being shortened here. I know it's been a thing that's been chatted about, maybe 144 games or something along those lines. If that happens, there might be more days spread out in between mm-hmm. for 7 days a week. We might just be 5 games. Instead of having the starting pitcher limit or they have to go this number of innings, what about just a maximum number of pitchers that you can use per 9-inning game? What are your thoughts on that? Thank you. I'm listening on hanging up.
Yeah, well, that's what I was basically saying.
Yeah,
right?
He brought that up. Gotcha. Yeah. Brought that up.
Right. You go into a game and you say, okay, well, these are the pitchers we have available for this game. 4, 5, whatever it may be. Those are the pitchers. Now, again, do I love that idea? I don't necessarily love it, but I think that that's a better solution than what they're trying to come up with. I didn't really give it too much thought through, okay, well, what if this happens or what if that happens? Obviously, if it goes to extra innings, you have to be allowed to have another arm available.
For
obviously,
sure.
If somebody gets hurt, you have to be allowed to have another arm available. But I don't think it's ridiculous to say that you could get through a 9-inning game with 5 different pitchers, which would prevent... A manager from taking a starter out prior to the 6th inning if he had fewer than 100 pitches and didn't allow 4 runs. Like,
you've got to be a lot more judicious in how... No, I agree.
Well, all the things that they're trying to put in place, well, if you only had a limited amount of pitchers to use... And by the way, what else that would do is also speed up the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I don't think pace of the game is an issue anymore. I really don't. Like, yesterday's Mets game was ridiculous with the walks, but... I mean, it's the pace to me has been good. Everybody, how are we going to handle the pitch clock here? Everybody's adjusted. It's really, I saw a couple guys get banged out for, you know, a strike here or there, but for the most part, it's been fairly seamless. Let me ask you this, Sal.
Yeah.
When we were young, right, what were the two things about baseball that, I mean, you might not really know where my mind is going, so it's kind of an open-ended question. Let me just answer it for you rather than play the guessing game. The two things for me were power, like those prodigious power, the home runs, and elite starting pitching.
Okay.
Watching Dwight Gooden, watching even Steve Carlton at the end, like a Nolan Ryan, guys like that, Ron Guidry, right? Starting pitching and power. Now, power's still in the game, but for the most part, starting pitching has been phased out for a multitude of reasons.
It's been negated.
And they've got to find a way to reverse
right.
that. So how they do it, listen, I can only identify the problem. It's up to them to figure out how to fix it. I only have so many answers.
Right, and especially off the top of our head, just talking about it now. Like, I'm not sitting there giving it hours, talking with people, thinking about how to fix the problem and thinking through all the scenarios. We're just, you know,
Is it because we're older and less impressionable and we focus more on the Yankees and the Mets? Or is it that there's just fewer dominant starting pitchers that people really would get excited about or even incentivized to reach into their pocket to go and see? Like, yeah, I remember back in the, now it's different with the scalping and not scalping, the secondary ticket markets. Like back in the day, like Dwight Gooden, there'd be a surge of like 11 or 12,000 walk-ups when a Fernando Valenzuela comes to Shea. And it, oh, wow, Fernando, 15,000, we got to go watch him, Fernando Mania. Does that happen around baseball? Even somebody as good as Corbin Burns.
Skeens, I think it does happen.
All right, Skeens is one,
doubt. Even Kodai Senga to a certain extent.
I think that the international players are different. Yeah. I give you somebody like Senga and somebody like Ohtani.
I think it could happen.
I don't think there's many.
No, I think it could happen. I just don't think that. And even if it does, it's not like you're going to see that pitcher complete the game or go 7-8 innings. Usually you're going to see him for 5-6 innings.
Let's say Tampa's bad or Toronto, or I know the Guardians are very good. Let's say Cleveland and Gerrit Cole, not so much this year, but Gerrit Cole last year. Gerrit Cole's pitching against the Guardians in Cleveland, and Cleveland doesn't have a real winning team. Are 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people saying, I got to go watch Gerrit Cole pitch like they used to say for Nolan Ryan?
Yeah.
I think the answer is no.
Yeah, those guys just, they don't train them or make them as good as they used to.
I don't know. Gerrit Cole's pretty good.
Yeah, well, right. The aberration, but still, there used to be a lot more. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back and more of your calls as well. Watch this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS television. The Big Three Championship Weekend tips off from Boston's TD Garden. Watch Gary Payton's Bivouac and Michael Cooper's Three's Company battle it out for the Dr. J Championship Trophy. That's Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS television. Ice Cube's Big Three Basketball Championship game from Boston TD Garden. Watch all the action live this Sunday, 3 p.m. on CBS television and on X around the world. Big Three Basketball, a sports extravaganza like no other.
All right, Sal. Hey, the biggest pro football contest in Vegas is back. Circa Survivor and Circa Million now to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes. Two ways to win, no rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week. No points, Brady. You just got to win. You win, you advance. All right, last the longest to win it all. Win $10 million guaranteed in Circa Million. Make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed in quarterly full-season payouts. Register in Nevada. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's BT and Sal on the Fan.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. It is time for Caller of the Day. Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Oh, well, we got a little guy.
I cut him off.
Uncle Sal, once again, having no fun with the little kids.
It's not that. It's
Uncle
that,
BT is was a delay. You know, better with that.
You heard the significant delay. We went to Kingston. He said, oh, it's Kingston. And then there was a pause. He wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, he's got no time for the kids.
I didn't mean
this
that.
Is the cranky uncle.
Kingston called back, BT.
Nice.
So a second chance. Kingston?
I'm going to be the kid caster on Monday.
You want to be the kid?
No, he's going to.
Wait a second. Is this the young man who was on SNY the other night?
Yes.
Yes. Look, Kingston, let me tell you something, young man. You are, how old are you, sir?
9.
Okay, so first of all, I want to give you mom and dad, it sounds like your dad's there, a world of credit, because I was watching this on SNY Live, and when they found, Gelbs came over to tell you that you are the SNY kid caster, and I've got a 9-year-old son, my beautiful daughter's 8, so it's the same exact age, and I watched your response, and I watched how happy you were, and I saw how respectful you were, and I actually tweeted about you, Kingston. I think, quite honestly, I think you're already a better broadcaster than Sal, but that's just my opinion.
Thank you. My dad showed me what you,
What I tweeted to you? Well,
yeah,
now,
thank you.
You are welcome, young man.
All right, there you have it. Call of the day. Young Kingston, man. Good luck to him on Monday night, he said? What did he say?
Yeah, Monday night.
Monday night, he'll be doing the KidCaster on SNY. Let's get back to the calls here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808. 101.9 live at the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. It has been an incredible experience. What a great day. Fun to talk to so many sports fans and listeners of The Fan, or just New York sports fans, or sports fans in general. If you get a chance, come out and check this out this weekend. It has been fantastic. Duke is calling from Elizabeth, New Jersey. What's up, Duke?
Hey, guys. What a show. Usually I call in to, have my baseball questions or whatever. But, man, I just wanted to compliment you guys on a show. Mad Dog interview was outrageous. And Sal, you said the funniest thing I ever heard in my life when you commented about BG Swing to Jeff McNeil. It had me rolling and still got me rolling.
I knew BT would like that one, dude.
Did he make a...
Oh, I'm sorry, Duke. I cut you off there by accident. You got to give me a little forgiveness here today because I got a pen pushing the buttons as opposed to normal.
All right, we'll give you a pass.
A little bit. I wasn't sure if he was done there, and then I kind of hit it. But, yeah, I figured you liked that comp. I had to pick a lefty because you're a lefty swing.
Yep.
Jeff McNeil was a batting champion. I mean, I didn't see
that. True. He's also falling off the face of the earth, and he's hitting .245.
He's picked it back
up
a little
bit.
Him,
but, yeah, I got you.
He's picked it back up a little bit. Tommy,
got pinch hit for yesterday.
Tommy's in Brooklyn. What's up, Tommy?
What's up?
How are you, Tommy?
Hey, bud.
Hi, DC. Let me ask you a question. What do you guys think of this plan? What if Pete Alonso will take a qualifying offer this year, right? Probably going to be about, $25 million. Break the Mets home run record next year. Let the Mets sign Soto this year. And then get the following big payday next year. You think it's doable?
Thank you for the call, Tommy. I don't think one has to do with the other. And let me just be clear. I couldn't, and maybe I'm in the minority, I don't know. I couldn't give a crap less about the Mets home run record. Like, that does nothing for me.
I hear you.
What I care about, and maybe it does for some, and that's fine. But for me, I'm not looking at Pete Alonso saying, oh, the Mets have to have him back because he's got to break the home run record. No, I care about wins. And I just don't believe that at this point, I can't even believe I'm saying this because a year and a half ago, I was saying Pete Alonso is going to go down as being the greatest Met position player of all time. But a lot has changed. He had an awful year last year, and he's having a bad year this year. And I really believe that the Mets would be better off without him. Now, if you want to sell me that they could bring him back for a year or two, I guess. But my bigger issue, BT, is that I don't believe in the core. And you're again then relying on Alonso. Who knows what they do with McNeil, but Lindor, Nimmo, Alonso, McNeil, like it's the same core. So if you let Alonso go and sign Juan Soto, it just changes the feel. Like Mike and Chris, you say, open up the window, air the thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the Pete is worthless. It's got to be the right price. But I'm over this version of the Mets, me personally.
No, I don't blame you. I think if Pete really stumbles the rest of the way and there's no appreciable uptick and he doesn't go on a three-week heater, that maybe makes his numbers look a little bit better in totality than they really were in real time. This actually might work out well for the Mets, if you're open to this. Now, not everybody would want this. I don't think, you know where I stand on Soto, but let me just present you from a Mets perspective, win-win. Pete has such a down year, by his standards, that the market is so depressed and diluted of interest that the Mets get him back on a one-year qualifying offer, and they get Juan Soto.
Why not? Yeah, I mean, I guess, as long as it happens.
You wouldn't be pumped up about that? $25 million for Pete Alonso?
I'm ready to move on.
Okay.
Well, but, like, I want him here if he's going to produce. What, based off of the last 2 years, gives you the idea that he's going to produce when you need him to in a big spot? And if my goal is ultimately to win in the world, win the World Series, succeed in the postseason, what has Pete done that makes you think, in any way, shape, or form, that he could be the guy to get the job done?
Well, I wouldn't put a ton of money on that or a ton of conviction, but I'll tell you what, I mean, again, you know where I stand. I would let him go, but I wouldn't be completely shut off to the idea of him having a massive season with Juan Soto protecting him.
Right. I get it.
I'm just giving you a possibility. I mean, one-year qualifying offer.
But if you've watched Pete Alonso this year, even forget last year, if you've watched him this year with runners in scoring position and in big spots, I don't know. I'm not saying that he can never figure it out, and I understand his threat, his power bat. I just, in a walk year two with all the pressure, like, this is where I want somebody to thrive.
Yep.
I want the play. Like, Conforto did not.
No.
And you would ask me, like, I loved Michael Conforto. I thought he was going to be the next great thing for the Mets.
Yep.
And then the walk year, make or break year, he was a zero. And that's it. See you, move on. So we're like, oh, well, what if you get Conforto back on the cheap? No, I just don't want him.
Well, by the way, the pressure would not be removed because under this, you know.
Yeah, he'd be playing in another walk year.
Exactly. It'd be just another walk year. And it'd probably be amplified because now it's like, all right, nobody really wanted him. And now, I mean, if that's the case, and maybe somebody comes with an offer I don't foresee,
right.
I wouldn't rule anything out. You never know. One
I think
desperate
the Mets
order,
would
but
be better off. I really firmly believe this.
Without him.
Yeah.
Me too.
Like
me too. I'm just giving you the other side of the coin.
Now, if Pete were hitting, as we said earlier, in case you missed it, check out on the Free Odyssey app. If Pete were hitting 250, 260, on pace for 40 home runs and 100 ribbies, that's hard to replace. What Pete Alonso has done the last 2 years is not that hard to replace.
No. No. Matter of fact, I think that you can find somebody to play first base for less money.
Correct.
That can do more things well.
Correct.
You know, whether it's picking it a little bit better.
Or
move
Vientos to first where you're paying him nothing.
I don't love that idea. I don't know how he'd be at first base.
Well, what are you going to do with him?
Well, probably keep it third.
Or I was going to say, you could get a third baseman. So,
well, yeah, that's an option.
Well, right. Get a third baseman who could give you more than what Vientos has given you a third. Bring different things. Look, there are many different ways to do it, and I'm not trying to minimize what Pete Alonso's value is or what he can bring to a team. I just feel like for whatever reason here, where Pete had a great opportunity. He had a great opportunity. He's healthy. He's going into his walk year. He could have made us all think, wow, he's going to get way more than Olsen or Freeman. Maybe he can come close to getting 250 or whatever. Like, even me was saying that, hey, if he has a big year, the Mets are going to have to pay him 220. Now that's like a laughingstock.
Zero chance.
Now we're talking about $25 million a year, not $225 million for, you know, 6-7 years, whatever it may be. And that's because Pete Alonso himself has not produced. So I don't see the appeal other than hoping that he turns it around and other than you like him as a Met because he's homegrown and he's been a good guy and he's done some nice things.
Well, and here's the other thing before we get a quick break. The other thing, too, is now there's a new way of doing business in baseball. Ask Bellinger. Ask Chapman.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's suddenly, well, 2 years at an opt-out, year at an opt-out. So, you know, it's not that Pete can't bounce back, whether it's here or elsewhere, and, you know, put up 40 and 115 and hit 250 or 255 or 270. I'm not saying that that's impossible. But now, the way of doing business, that template, is so different. So I don't see any situation, unless it's the Mets, and I still wouldn't do this. I don't see any situation that Pete Alonso gets four firm years from anybody in baseball. Maybe it's two with one. Maybe to stretch it, it's three plus one. It's not going to be four guaranteed. Nope, nobody's going to do that for him. It's over in that regard. Baseball's changed.
BT and Sal on the Fan live at the Javits Center. Fanatics Fest. It's been awesome. We'll finish up when we come back. Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. It's made with real premium stateside vodka, real brewed tea. I love this stuff. I drink it all summer long. Actually, I drink it all year long. Even football season, I like having some Surfsides. All the flavors are great. I personally love the black cherry lemonade. That's my wife's favorite. We're actually running low on that stock. I have to make another bet with Clem pretty soon. Maybe we'll do a little Yankees-Phillies. Or, you know what, we could do Jets-Eagles. All right, 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, which is why you could drink them all day long. It's so good. And if you try this, you know you could tell that there's barely any alcohol in it. It's so good. It's dangerous. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. It's sunshine. It's a sunshine in a can. It's Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. This Odyssey Sports Minute brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan live at the Javits Center Fanatics Fest. It has been tremendous here hanging out, BT playing catch, of course, with everybody. And we got plenty of people stopping by, hanging out. Evan and Tiki will be here next. Where is Tiki, by the way? Is Tiki in the building? I want to ask him, where is Tiki?
I don't know.
Has anybody seen him?
I have not seen him.
Where?
I will say this, Sal.
Is he coming today?
Having worked with Tiki for 10 years, one of two things are happening. He's got 50 people around him looking for a picture.
Right.
Or he's just sliding in late.
Well,
both happen all the time.
Understood. The only reason why I even care at this particular point, because once we get off at 2, it's not my problem.
Goodbye.
But I'm in Tiki Barber's pants, uniform pants, because Michael Rubin said I needed to dress up like Michael Vick today to not disappoint him.
Yeah, well.
Guy's worth $11 billion. I don't want to disappoint.
Okay.
I've been sitting here in these pants that don't even fit. I'm taking pictures all day long. My zipper and belt are wide open. It's being covered by a Vick jersey. Actually, I wonder, BT, if you could see through that. Now that I think about it.
It's too small.
Oh, yeah. All these pictures have been taken all day long. What happens if you could see from? Anyway, so I want to ask Tiki.
Well, so basically what happened is Michael Rubin played you. He told me to dress up. I said, there's no chance. Did Michael Rubin come by today?
Hey, this isn't the end of this.
Okay, well,
I'll
hope not.
I'll be here tomorrow as well.
He was talking. Oh, that's true. You are here tomorrow. That is true.
One way or another, Michael Vick better be on this set tomorrow.
I was
going
to say, maybe he does come through. I think Rubin's the kind of guy now. Yeah. He's also in a million directions. I think that he's the kind of guy that will follow his word.
You know what's even worse than dressing up in these pants that don't fit me? And that's why I wanted to ask Tiki how the hell he fit into these things. Carrying around this stuff.
Gosh.
Like, that's what I wanted to do today for the commute. Yeah, honey, do you have a bag I can pack my stupid helmet in and my jersey and some pants that I don't even fit in as I'm taking the train over Uber over?
That's a you problem.
Yeah,
that's not
exactly
an us problem.
Yeah, this is because I'm a team guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll dress up. Yeah, I'll go catch a pass from Tom Brady. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here with you, catching passes from you all day.
Where's Tom Brady? Where's the pass? Not happening.
Let's finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Mickey is calling from Massachusetts.
What's up, Mick?
What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Longtime Yankee fan. You know, some of these deals that Cashman makes, somebody explain this to me. He gets a 33-year-old guy from the Cubs, Mark Leiter, who in the last 2 years has pitched to a 4.5 ERA, and he gives up this young 24-year-old kid, homegrown, who in the last 2 years in the minors has pitched under 13 strikeouts a game, gives up virtually no homers, his walks are way cut down, he throws 97, he's got great other pitches. And they give this kid up. Why didn't they bring him up? Why did they get Leiter? I don't understand.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Now, it hasn't worked. They gave up 2 home runs the other day. He's tripped up a few times, but he has a 37 when they acquired him, 37-ish, 38, right in the neighborhood of that strikeout rate. And what's the knock on the Yankees' bullpen this year? They don't miss enough bats, whether it's Clay Holmes, whether it's others. They don't get enough strikeouts. And extra innings, that kills you, you know, let alone, you know, just high leverage situation, guys on base. And this goes back. This, now it's a small thing, and thanks for the call. This goes back. One of the losses, and the Yankees have had a very fun season, but one of the losses that bothered me the most was it was a 4-game series in Kansas City. Remember this? And it was a little ground ball to Rizzo before Rizzo got hurt. And he and Clay Holmes had some miscommunication, and then the Yankees had won the first 3 games. Right. They were going for
sweep.
They were going for the 4-game sweep.
And the implosion, brutal loss.
Yeah, I think Volpe may have had a home. It was a day game. I think Volpe went yard that day. I think, but there was a soft contact that you just couldn't put him away. And you know, back to the point is somebody like Mark Leiter does statistically. You know, it's proven, it's irrefutable. He's got a very high above league average strikeout rate. Hence the addition. I mean, that's why they got him.
Yeah, but I still think the Yankees didn't do enough at the deadline. And by the way, what the hell is going on with Jazz? Like, no update yet?
Yeah, no, he's good. I just saw something before. He is they recommended some rest and rehab, and they're going to bypass surgery, so it looks like it is definitely the better of the two situations.
Are they just hoping that it's going to get better?
No, well, they feel pretty good.
So, all right, what is the official word? Because I did
not see
weeks.
It. Couple of weeks. He's on the IL, obviously, for a couple of weeks.
But and no then, surgery.
No surgery as of now. The thought is that he will be able to play baseball in a couple of weeks.
And they might as well take that chance anyway, because if you have to have surgery, it's going to ruin the season. But if you wait a little bit, then maybe you don't have to, you know, the idea that obviously he has surgery, he's out for the postseason.
Yep.
If they wait and he doesn't have to have it, then they could get him back. If they wait and it still isn't getting better, then you have it anyway. So there's no point of not waiting.
Correct. 100%.
But I'm just waiting for an update. But point was, I don't think that they did enough at the trade deadline anyway to really put them over the top, whether it was get the most legitimate bullpen. I'm like, Leiter's okay, but...
Yeah.
And I know he does, you know, strikes out a bunch of guys, which is something that they wanted in the bullpen. Is he the arm that's going to be a difference maker for the Yankees in the postseason?
Well, no, I mean, but do you think that will be the arm when the Yankees are up, let's say, 4-3, and it's the eighth inning of the American League Championship Series? Yanks are playing home, so it's a top eight. Do Do you think that Mark Leiter's the guy that trots out? I mean, I'm not saying that he's not going to be that guy.
Well, who
but I don't think it's going to. They have a couple of guys coming back from injury.
Yeah, all right. Now
they
we're really going to rely on those guys that we haven't seen yet?
Maybe. That might not be enough, right, but there's options.
But point is, if they got one of the better relievers, and I'm not even saying Tanner Scott, just because he was the popular guy, but he walks a ton of guys. But if they got one of the, no doubt about it, better receivers or relievers, then you would have had a better chance there, along with Clay Holmes, who we don't even trust anyway. So that's part of the problem, is that you didn't trust Clay Holmes. I wanted them to go get a more dominant, no doubt about it, reliever for the eighth inning. And then if something happened with Holmes, you transition. But they knew all along that they're going to make a break with Clay Holmes as their closer in the postseason.
And that he could be gone next year. Now, I don't disagree. I would have liked to have seen the Yankees go a little bit more, right? A little bit more at the deadline. But let's say that Jazz Chisholm comes back and is healthy and plays a very close approximation of how he played his first 3 weeks as a Yankee. And you have Judge, and you have Soto, and you have a dynamic Chisholm. You don't think... Now, again, there's always crapshoots and variables in October. You don't think that that's a team that would be on the first line to win the or at least get to the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, look at everybody else. As you said, there's other teams that are flawed as well. Yep. I'm just looking at it from the Yankees. I know that they could use some help in that bullpen. I'm not so sure Mark Leiter is going to be the one to provide that. At the time, there were better options available. At least I thought, you know what, the Yankees have done a good job, and Brian Cashman, at finding some better options along the years where you look at some guys that don't have the, Clay Holmes is one of those guys where... Yeah, Clay Holmes wasn't a big-time reliever, but the Yankees go out there and get him, and he turned into one of the better closers in the game. Obviously an all-star this year, but I still have issues with that, and we'll see with their lineup. Same thing, even with the addition of Jazz, I still don't think the Yankees did enough with their lineup. It's going to be about Austin Wells. I think that's the key. The emergence of Austin Wells has been the difference maker for the Yankees. Can he continue that?
I love him.
Yeah, I know.
I love him. Yeah, you know that.
Well, he's actually starting to hit now, which is nice.
He's been hitting for about 40 games.
Yeah, but
he's on a tear.
He's been, to me, the difference maker in their turnaround. Not Stanton coming back, not the addition of Jazz.
I agree with that.
So that's going to have to continue. What is Volpe going to be to lengthen out that lineup? What are they going to do with the leadoff spot? Especially now, even being without Jazz, let's say, for a few weeks.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that hurts because he did help. It may not have been enough in my mind, but it did help having Jazz there. And obviously, the Yankees are going to be making a run here. I think that's the music playing. I can't even. I can barely
it's a little
hear
faint.
It.
I believe you're right there, Sal. Unfortunately, that's the end of the road.
Yeah, Evan and Tiki are coming up next. Been a fun show. If you can get here, check it out. Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. Thanks for everybody coming out. Thanks to Alex Azar behind the scenes. Dove, Ryan Hurley, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody called and listen. We appreciate you. We'll see you Monday, 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan live at the Javits Center Fanatics Fest. It has been tremendous here hanging out. BT playing catch, of course, with everybody. And we got plenty of people stopping by, hanging out. Evan and Tiki will be here next. Where is Tiki, by the way? Is Tiki in the building? I want to ask him, where is Tiki?
I don't know.
Has anybody seen him?
I have not seen him.
Where?
I will say this, Sal.
Is he coming today?
Having worked with Tiki for 10 years, one of two things are happening. He's got 50 people around him looking for a picture.
Right.
Or he's just sliding in late. Well, both happen all the time.
Understood. The only reason why I even care at this particular point, because once we get off at 2, it's not my problem.
Goodbye.
But I'm in Tiki Barber's uniform pants, because Michael Rubin said I needed to dress up like Michael Vick today to not disappoint him.
Yeah, well.
Guy's worth $11 billion. I don't want to disappoint.
Okay.
I've been sitting here in these pants that don't even fit. I'm taking pictures all day long. My zipper and belt are wide open. It's being covered by a Vick jersey. Actually, I wonder, BT, if you could see through that. Now that I think about it.
It's too small.
Oh, yeah. All these pictures have been taken all day long. What happens if you could see through? Anyway.
That's true.
So I wanted to ask Tiki.
Well, so... So basically what happened is Michael Rubin played you.
He told
me to dress up. I said, hey. I said there's no chance. Did Michael Rubin come by today?
Hey, this isn't the end of this.
Okay,
I'll be here tomorrow as well.
He'll be here tomorrow.
I'll be here one way or another. Michael Vick better be on this set tomorrow.
I was
going to
say, maybe he does come through. I think Rubin's the kind of guy now. He's also in a million directions. I think that he's the kind of guy that will follow his word.
You know what's even worse than dressing up in these pants that don't fit me? And that's why I wanted to ask TK how the hell he fit into these things. Carrying around this stuff.
Gosh.
Like, that's what I wanted to do today for the commute. Yeah, honey, do you have a bag I can pack my stupid helmet in and my jersey and some pants that I don't even fit in as I'm taking the train over and then the Uber over?
That's a you problem.
Yeah,
that's not
exactly.
an us problem.
Yeah, this is because I'm a team guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll dress up. Yeah, I'll go catch a pass from Tom Brady. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here with you, catching passes from you all day.
Where's Tom Brady? Where's the pass? Not happening.
Let's finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019. Mickey is calling from Massachusetts.
What's up, Mick?
What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Longtime Yankee fan. You know, some of these deals that Cashman makes, somebody explain this to me. He gets a 33-year-old guy from the Cubs, Mark Leiter, who in the last 2 years has pitched to a 4.5 ERA, and he gives up this young 24-year-old kid, homegrown, who in the last 2 years in the minors has pitched under 13 strikeouts a game, gives up virtually no homers, his walks are way cut down, he throws 97, he's got great other pitches. And they give this kid up. Why didn't they bring him up? Why did they get Leiter? I don't understand.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Now, it hasn't worked. They gave up two home runs the other day. He's tripped up a few times, but he has a 37 when they acquired him, 37-ish, 38, right in the neighborhood of that strikeout rate. And what's the knock on the Yankees' bullpen this year? They don't miss enough bats, whether it's Clay Holmes, whether it's others. They don't get enough strikeouts. And extra innings, that kills you, you know, let alone, you know, just high leverage situation, guys on base. And this goes back. This, now it's a small thing. Thanks for the call. This goes back. One of the losses, and the Yankees have had a very fun season, but one of the losses that bothered me the most was it was a 4-game series in Kansas City. Remember this? And it was a little ground ball to Rizzo before Rizzo got hurt. And he and Clay Holmes had some miscommunication, and then the Yankees had won the first 3 games.
Right.
They were going for
sweep.
They were going for the 4-game sweep.
Implosion, brutal loss.
Yeah, I think Volpe may have had a home. It was a day game. I think Volpe went yard that day. But there was a soft contact that you just couldn't put him away. And you know, back to the point is somebody like Mark Leiter does statistically. You know, it's proven. It's irrefutable. He's got a very high above league average strikeout rate. Hence the addition. I mean, that's why they got him.
Yeah, but I still think the Yankees didn't do enough at the deadline. And by the way, what the hell's going on with Jazz? Like, no update yet?
Yeah, no, he's good. I just saw something before. He is. It's not. They recommended some rest and rehab, and they are going to bypass surgery. So it looks like it is definitely the better of the two situations.
Are they just hoping that it's going to get better?
No, well, they feel pretty good.
So, all right, what is the official word? Because I did not
see it. Couple
of weeks.
He's on the IL, obviously, for a couple of weeks.
But no surgery.
No surgery as of now. The thought is that he will be able to play baseball in a couple of weeks.
And they might as well take that chance anyway, because if you have to have surgery, it's going to ruin the season. But if you wait a little bit, then maybe you don't have to, you know, the idea that obviously he has surgeries out for the postseason.
Yep.
If they wait and he doesn't have to have it, then they could get him back. If they wait and it still isn't getting better, then you have it anyway. So there's no point of not waiting.
Correct. 100%.
But I'm just waiting for an update. But point was, I don't think that they did enough at the trade deadline anyway to really put them over the top, whether it was get the most legitimate bullpen. I'm like, Leiter's okay, but...
Yeah.
And I know he does, you know, strikes out a bunch of guys, which is something that they wanted in the bullpen. Is he the arm that's going to be a difference maker for the Yankees in the postseason?
Well, no, I mean, but do you think that that will be the arm when the Yankees are up, let's say, 4-3... and it's the eighth inning of the American League Championship Series. Yanks are playing home, so it's a top eight. Do you think that Mark Leiter's the guy that trots out? I mean, I'm not saying that he's not going to be that guy.
Well,
but
who
I don't think it's going to. They have a couple of guys coming back from injury.
Yeah, all right. Now
they
we're
really
going to rely
do.
On those guys that we haven't seen yet?
Maybe. That might not be enough,
right,
but there's options.
But point is, if they got one of the better relievers, and I'm not even saying Tanner Scott, just because he was the popular guy, but he walks a ton of guys. But if they got one of the, no doubt about it, better receivers or relievers, then you would have had a better chance there, along with Clay Holmes, who we don't even trust anyway. So that's part of of the problem is that you didn't trust Clay Holmes. I wanted them to go get a more dominant, no doubt about it, reliever for the eighth inning. And then if something happened with Holmes, you transition. But they knew all along that they're going to make or be, you know, make a break with Clay Holmes with their closer in the postseason.
And then he could be gone next year. Now, let me I don't disagree. I would have liked to see the Yankees go a little bit more, right? A little bit more at the deadline. But let's say that Jazz Chisholm comes back and is healthy and plays a very close approximation of how he played his first 3 weeks as a Yankee. And you have Judge, and you have Soto, and you have a dynamic Chisholm. You don't think... Now, again, there's always crapshoots and variables right. In October. You don't think that that's a team that would be on the first line to win the, or at least get to the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, look at everybody else. As you said, there's other teams that are flawed as well. Yep. I'm just looking at it from the Yankees. I know that they could use some help in that bullpen. I'm not so sure Mark Leiter is going to be the one to provide that. At the time, there were better options available. At least I thought, you know what, the Yankees have done a good job, and Brian Cashman, at finding some better options along the years where you look at some guys that don't have the, you know, Clay Holmes is one of those guys where, you know, Clay Holmes wasn't a big-time reliever, but the Yankees go out there and get him, and he turned into one of the better closers in the game. Obviously an all-star this year, but I still have issues with that, and we'll see with their lineup. Same thing, even with the addition of Jazz, I still don't think the Yankees did enough with their lineup. It's going to be about Austin Wells. I think that's the key. The emergence of Austin Wells has been the difference maker for the Yankees. Can he continue that?
I love him.
Yeah, I know.
I love him. Yeah, you know that.
Well, he's actually starting to hit now, which is nice.
He's been hitting for about 40 games.
Yeah, but
he's on a tear.
He's been, to me, the difference maker in their turnaround. Not Stanton coming back, not the addition of Jazz.
I agree with that.
So that's going to have to continue. What is Volpe going to lengthen out that lineup? What are they going to do with the leadoff spot? Especially now, even being without Jazz, let's say, for a few weeks.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that hurts because he did help. It may not have been enough in my mind, but it did help having Jazz there. And obviously, you know, the Yankees are going to be making a run here. I think that's the music playing. I can't even, I can barely hear it.
It's a little faint, I believe you're right there, Sal. Unfortunately, that's the end of the road.
Yeah, well, Evan and Tiki are coming up next. Been a fun show. If you can get here, check it out. Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. Thanks for everybody coming out. Thanks to Alex Azarn behind the scenes, Dove, Ryan Hurley, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody called and listen. We appreciate you. We'll see you Monday, 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.